Good morning.
Good morning.
We're in Ephesians and chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've given to us, Father. We thank you for everything that you are, that you do, that you will do. We thank you, Father, for revealing your mind and your will to us. And we pray that as we look through your word, we would grow in our understanding, in our knowledge, in our acquaintance with you, Father, that we would know you better, is our prayer this morning in our Savior's name. Amen. Ephesians and chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 8. Read down a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8, talking about the riches of God's grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All right, now we started into this little handful of verses here last week, and we talked about all wisdom. God has abounded toward us in the riches of his grace. He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And we saw that Paul uses that phrase, all wisdom, several times. And he's talking about the fulfillment of God's word in the revelation of the mystery that was committed to him. If you'll turn over to the book of Colossians, and the first chapter, Colossians chapter 1, the Lord has been revealing himself to mankind from the beginning. He gave Adam and his family some revelation. They knew some things. They knew about after the fall. Before the fall, Adam knew directly from the mouth of God. He was to dress and keep the garden. And that was the word of God, the revelation of God to him. And he did that. Eve was created, and she got the instruction from Adam that he received from God not to eat of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil and so forth. After they fell, they came out of the garden and they got further instruction regarding sacrifices. The book of Hebrews says that by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and you can't do that by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way Abel could do that by faith is if God told them what sacrifices to bring. So God said, you bring an animal, you bring blood. And Cain said, well, I'm a farmer, I'm going to bring the fruit of my labor. And he was rejected because he didn't bring the blood like God told them to. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. So God has been revealing himself and his will to man all down through the ages. He revealed more of himself to Moses and the children of Israel. And he revealed his law, his righteous law to them. And he revealed the righteousness and the judgment of God and the mercy of God through that law. Then the Lord Jesus Christ came and he revealed more of God. He took the law and he actually enhanced and added to it. He said it was written in old times, thou shalt not kill. But I say to you, if you're angry at your brother without a cause, you've already committed murder in your heart and so forth. And he took that law and he intensified it and he internalized it. Essentially, he made it, the law was impossible to keep to start with, and he made that abundantly clear and obvious by taking those external actions, even if you thought you were fulfilling the law. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he took that and he said, no, this is about your heart. And those are things that being a sinner, you can't control. So the Lord revealed the not just the righteousness of God, but because of the righteousness of God, the need for salvation, because we were without strength, unable to keep that law as God intended. So that revelation is being given to man all through. We call that progressive revelation. God is revealing more and more of himself to mankind until you get to the Apostle Paul. And to the Apostle Paul was given all wisdom. That is the completion of the revelation. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, talking about himself, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. So the mystery was given to Paul to fulfill the word of God, to fill it. The idea there is to fill it full, to complete the revelation. And he says he got that by the mystery, verse 26, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. This is a revelation that God did not give in time past, not until the Apostle Paul, and he received it. So Paul says God has abounded toward us in the riches of his grace, in this wisdom, this completion of wisdom, all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And we looked at that gift of wisdom last week, and we saw that what that all wisdom comes down to is it's all tied up in this mystery. And a part of that, the mystery, and we'll talk about the mystery and what that is, but a part of it is what Paul calls the mystery of the gospel. In time past, you saw the Lord Jesus Christ dying because of the sins of Israel, of his people, over and over again. The prophets, the Lord himself, said, I give my life for my friends. I give my life for the sheep. I give my life. He's talking about the nation of Israel. He told his apostles, don't go to the Gentiles, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's who I'm dying for. It wasn't until Paul that you get the revelation. He says, in due time it was revealed that Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And Paul is that due time testifier. So you get this progressive revelation, and that mountain peak of wisdom turns out to be, it was all leading and building up to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross and 3 days later. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That is the fulfillment of this wisdom. And we talked about that last week. We're doing review here for these first few minutes. That means more than just, it means that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you are saved through what he did on that cross. That's why Paul says that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace in our passage. It's about the blood that he shed and then the victory that he won in the resurrection. It's not just that you and I get to go to heaven and we miss hell. It is that. But through that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ reconciled all things to himself. All things, and we'll look at that because that's what Paul talks about in our verses. We've talked about all things and the riches of his grace. God has given you richly all things to enjoy. He that delivered up his own son for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God gives us all things. What does that include? All the things. God has given us all things freely and richly. So, all things are reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. All things in heaven and earth. Does that mean Satan's going to be saved? No, it doesn't. It means that all the things that you and I have been given through the riches of His grace have been reconciled to God by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The death that the Lord Jesus Christ overcame by His resurrection was your death and mine. He overcame death for you. But it wasn't just your death and mine. It was the death of the whole universe. The whole universe was separated from God. The heavens are not clean in His sight, Job says. Now, all those things have been reconciled to Him, and He overcame death for all things. It's the completion of the wisdom of God. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Paul says to these saints here at Colossae, "For I would know that you, what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." See, it's in Christ. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This all wisdom is in the mystery. And the mystery is the full revelation of what God would do through Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 23. Paul says, "But we preach Christ crucified." Paul says that over and over again in so many places. We mentioned that last week too. You and I, we don't preach a religion. We don't preach a philosophy. We preach a person. Paul says we preach Christ because Christ is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, how is He the power of God and the wisdom of God? In that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. The Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God in that He died without sin. Jesus Christ was the man, the sinless man, who died. And therein is the power of God. You say, how is that the power of God? He died. But He was sinless and He died. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God told Adam, in the day that you eat from that tree, thou shalt surely die. Death is the wages of sin. So here we have a man, a sinless man, no sin, and yet he died. So what does that mean? That means that death couldn't hold him. Death had no claim on him. Peter says it was impossible that death should hold him. Death couldn't hold him. The Lord Jesus Christ died, so here's death with this man, having received this man, and he can't. Death can't hold him. Because it has no claim on him. He has no sin. So what happens? The Lord Jesus Christ beats death. And therein is the power of God. Christ is the power of God in that He died without sin. And Christ is the wisdom of God in that He died with sin. Not his own, yours, mine. Now he died with our sin. That means that you and I are saved by his death and by faith in it. But it doesn't just mean that. Jesus Christ died with sin. Like Samson died with the Philistines, Jesus Christ died with sin. Jesus Christ grabbed hold of sin while he was dying and pulled it down into death with him. And beat sin, dragged sin down into death. And death could hold sin, but it couldn't hold Christ. So he came up, and sin was dead, and he was alive. That's the power and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. Look down a little further in the passage. First, look at verse 30. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Christ is made unto us wisdom. He is wisdom. He is righteousness. He is sanctification. He is redemption. That's our complete salvation. The wisdom of the gospel that you came to believe, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again the third day. The righteousness that came from your faith in that finished work of Christ. The righteousness of your salvation that saved your soul. Sanctification that saves you through your life and gives you power to grow and cleanses you as you walk through this Christian life. And redemption, the final adoption that we've been talking about. The redemption of our bodies. That's a full salvation. Salvation from the penalty of sin, salvation from the power of sin, salvation from the presence of sin, ultimately. It's all Christ. He is the wisdom and power of God. So, back in our passage in Ephesians chapter 1, when Paul says that God, by the riches of his grace, has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will in verse 9. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. You notice, look at verse 9 and 10. I want you to see this. Verse 9 is talking about the Father. Verse 10 is talking about the Son. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Number one, who made known to us? The Father. Whose will? The Father's, according to his good pleasure. Whose good pleasure? The Father's, which he, the Father, hath purposed in himself. You see, there's nobody but God in that verse. God the Father. It's all about him. This is the mystery of the Father's will. God, that God has abounded toward us in this knowledge and in this completion of wisdom. To know the mystery of the will of God the Father that he purposed in himself before the foundation of the world, never told anyone about until the Apostle Paul. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also, and it goes on and talks about in Christ there. So verse 9 is all about the Father. Verse 10 is all about what the Father intends to do with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Father's will. That what? All things in heaven and earth are going to be gathered together in Christ. We'll talk about that when we get there. I don't know if we're going to get there today. We got to talk about this mystery first. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now the mystery, most of us I think know what Paul means when he talks about a mystery. If you come back, look at Romans chapter 16. Book of Romans, chapter 16. And let's compare that. I want to get three passages here. So you got to get your third hand out. And get one hand in Romans 16. Get another in Acts chapter 3. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 1. Acts 3, Luke 1, Romans 16. Acts 3, Luke 1, Romans 16. Romans 16 first. Romans 16. We've got Acts chapter 3 and Luke chapter 1 in the other two hands. Romans 16 and verse 25. Paul says, he closes this great epistle to the Romans out with this. He says, now, Romans 16, 25, to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, Paul's gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So Paul, he's talking about this mystery here, and he says that God is of power to establish you by this mystery. We just read in Colossians that Paul prays for those who had not seen his face in the flesh, that they would be comforted, their hearts would be comforted. This mystery will comfort your heart. Their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love. Understanding this mystery joins us together as a body and teaches us how to love one another. To the all riches, he says there in Colossians, of the full assurance of the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. See, this mystery, here he says, God's of power to establish you by this mystery. This is how you get rooted and grounded and have ground, fertile ground from which you feed, that whereby you grow. It's this mystery. And what is a mystery? A mystery, different religions and different faiths have all kinds of ideas about what mystery means. When you talk about a mystery in the Bible, you're not talking about, you know, hocus pocus and doing magical things and things, you know, I know they appear one way, you know, to your eye, but the mystery truth of it is really this over here and all of that kind of stuff and all these mystery religions that are out there. A mystery in the Bible is very simple. It's something Paul says right here. The mystery that established according to my gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, verse 25, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. That's what a mystery is. It's something that was hidden, but now today, because we have all wisdom, and the word of God has been fulfilled through Paul, today, there are no more mysteries. God has abounded toward us in all wisdom, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. So that was kept secret before. People didn't know that before. The prophets didn't talk about it. Now it's made manifest, okay? So it was kept secret since the world began. Now, look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3 is Peter. And Peter is preaching to the children of Israel. No Gentiles here, not until you get to chapter 10, chapters 9, 10, 11, and so forth. So he's talking to the children of Israel, and he says, verse 19, Acts 3:19, he tells them, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So Peter is preaching the blotting out of sins when you believe? No. When the times of refreshing come, when Jesus comes back, from that's when their sins get blotted out. Now that's not true for you and me. This, what Peter is preaching here in Acts chapter 3, he is not preaching to you and me. That's a different gospel. When Paul says he's of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, Paul's gospel is different than Peter's gospel. Peter says, if you repent, be converted, your sins will be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And if you do that, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So if Israel repented 2,000 years ago, the Lord would have came back. But they didn't, and he didn't. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So what Peter is preaching here, and that's why we're here, is because of that verse in verse 21. What Peter is preaching is that which was spoken by the mouth of all God's holy prophets since the world began. What Paul preached, that mystery, was kept secret since the world began. Now those are two different things. Those are not the same thing. Peter is preaching the program, sorry for the alliterations here, of prophecy. Paul preached the mystery. Two different gospels, two different messages, two different audiences. Peter's preaching to Israel. Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles. For Moses, verse 22, truly said unto the fathers, a prophet, shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me? Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. The people is Israel. Yea, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. So Peter's preaching prophecy, that which was all spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Paul is preaching the mystery, Luke chapter 1. So that's Acts, that's after the ascension of Christ. The cross has happened, the resurrection has happened, the ascension has happened, the coming of the Holy Ghost has happened. All of those events have already taken place. And all of those events are prophesied. All of those events are according to the program of prophecy. And that's what Peter was preaching. Luke chapter 1, now we're back here at the birth, even before, we're at the birth of John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, this is Zechariah, verse 67. Luke chapter 1 is a long chapter. Verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Remember again what Paul said, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised again from the dead according to my gospel, and that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's not what Zacharias is saying here. He's come to redeem Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I came to give my life a ransom for many. Paul says he gave himself a ransom for all. And that was that further revelation that Paul received, the revelation of the mystery. He didn't just die for Israel, he died for everyone. He hath come, visited, and redeemed his people, raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of all his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. This is the program of prophecy. Now you're at the birth of John, before the birth of Christ. That we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, and so forth. Basically, the promise here that's spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets is that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and destroy the Gentiles, defeat the enemies of Israel, all the nations that surround that nation that were at war with them constantly. Us, non-Jews, unless you happen to be Jewish, which is fine because the body of Christ, there is no Jew and there is no Gentile. There's no distinction. Here, there's clearly a distinction. And that's the program that was spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. That is not the same as the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. You can't make those two things the same. There is no way to say that what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do in his earthly ministry is the same as what Paul preached. You can't say that what Peter preached is the same thing as what Paul preached. They're just not. Now, they preach the same Christ. But Paul says, we have known Christ after the flesh. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. We now know the resurrected, ascended, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. It is he that came down, reached down from heaven's glory and saved the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus and gave him, began to give him in a progressive way, the way God always does, a series of revelations that Paul calls, that the Lord called, the mystery. And the mystery of the Father's will, here in our passage in Ephesians, regards the dispensation of the fullness of times. Paul says a dispensation is given to me, that's what he's going to call in Ephesians chapter 3, the dispensation of the grace of God. That's where you and I live today. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God, when salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing. Grace through faith plus nothing. Not he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not what the rich man came and asked the Lord, Lord, what should I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, keep the commandments. And even after the guy said, I've kept all the commandments, liar. But I kept all the commandments. Now what? The Lord says you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor and then you'll have eternal life. Now look, that's not grace through faith plus nothing. That's faith plus works. For you and I, it is not faith plus works. Not for your salvation, it's not. Salvation by faith alone, then you have the power to work. Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And he is the one that carries us through. But you don't get baptized for your salvation, and you don't keep the commandments for your salvation, and you don't sell all your stuff for your salvation. You don't sell all your stuff in any right. These programs are different. What the Lord Jesus Christ preached on earth is not the same as what he preached from heaven to the Apostle Paul to give to you and me. God has made known to us in the riches of his grace the mystery of his will. He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, we're not going to study all of these different mysteries that make up the mystery. But here, look back in Colossians again, that verse we just read. Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2. What Paul is talking about specifically there in Ephesians 1 is the mystery of the Father's will. What he calls here in Colossians 2, the mystery of the Father. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now, the mystery of God, let's get this one, and then we'll just talk our way through the rest very quickly. Look at Revelation chapter 10. Get Revelation chapter 10, and get Psalm chapter 25. Revelation 10 and the 25th Psalm. The mystery of God. And of the Father. And of Christ. Those are three different things. Now they're all connected. And they're all part of the overall plan of God. But they're different parts. And they're not the only parts. Revelation chapter 10. In Revelation chapter 10, this is the interval between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Between all, there's seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials that kind of make up the book of Revelation, talking about the judgment of God on the earth in the last days. And in between the sixth and the seventh of each of those three things, the seals, the trumpets, and the vials, there's a break in the text. And that's where you are here in between the sixth, in that break, in between the sixth and seventh trumpet. And this is the little book. The angel comes down from heaven, chapter 10, verse 1. Mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head. His face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. That's it. I love when the Lord does that. He tells you that seven thunders said something, and then he says, I'm not going to tell you what they said. Like, well, Lord, why tell us that they said something if you're not going to tell us what they said? Well, I'll tell you why. He wants you to find out what they said. He's not telling you here, but you know how your Bible works. The things that those seven thunders uttered are in this book. It's up to you to find them. Paul says, I knew a man who was carried up to heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows, but he was carried up to the third heaven, up to paradise, and he heard words that were unlawful for a man to utter. So there again, I heard something, somebody said something, but I can't tell you what it was. What's the point of saying that? Because God wants you to study his book, that's why. Sometimes he doesn't give you the answers. He teaches you how to find the answers, and then he says, okay, now this time I'm not going to give you the answers, but I'm going to tell you that they're there. Pique a little curiosity, maybe. Get you into this book. Get you studying. Anyway, we haven't got to our verse yet. Revelation chapter 10. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth. Remember that. That's important. He stood upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are there, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, that's the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. So now here's a prophesied mystery. And he calls it the mystery of God. That's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2. That they would know the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So what is the mystery of God? Well, what's coming to a conclusion here in the book of Revelation, when there will be time no longer. It's the Psalm 25. It's the completion of God's prophetic program. You say, wait a minute, how is that a mystery if it was prophesied? Well, look, before it was prophesied, it wasn't known, right? Listen, all of God's revelation is a mystery until He reveals it. God, the mystery that God gave to the Apostle Paul, He decreed from before the foundation of the world. We've seen that. He just kept it hid until it was time, the due time came to reveal it to Paul. It was a mystery, but now it's made manifest. Well, God's prophesied program was a mystery until He began to make it known. Look at Psalm 25. Psalm 25, David says, verse 12, pick it up there. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. So the secret of the Lord there is defined as His covenant. Now you and I, we know, we're about to find out in Ephesians chapter 2, that in time past we were Gentiles, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. The Jews called us the uncircumcision. We're those people that the Lord was going to come back and defeat so that in order to save Israel. Who were you? Were uncircumcision, who were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise in Ephesians chapter 2. We didn't have the covenants. Well, Israel had the covenants, and God revealed those things, what David calls the secret of the Lord. The people of Israel understood that mystery was revealed to the nation of Israel. It was revealed to Moses in particular, and before that to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant, to the Mosaic covenant, the law, to Moses, the Davidic covenant, to David, and that's part of what he's talking about here. And all these different covenants that God made with people, but they're all part of the same thing, that prophesied program, the prophetic program. But God calls that the mystery of God. David here calls it the secret of the Lord. The nation of Israel understood. The rest of the world didn't. And the nation of Israel didn't understand until God revealed it to them. So that the mystery of God, back in Colossians, is the completion of that prophesied of the prophesied program, and it has to do with God's purpose for the earth. That angel, when he comes and declares, he is standing on the earth and on the sea, 1 foot on the earth and 1 foot on the sea, and that imagery harkens back to Daniel and the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. What he's doing there is he's taking possession of the earth. He's staking his claim on the earth. And he's saying, I'm taking the earth back to myself. That's the prophetic program. We started late. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. We'll wrap up for today. We'll continue this next week. Isaiah chapter 14. Only one passage this time. Isaiah 14 is Lucifer's wise plan. His plan to take over the government from God, the universal government. His plan to beat God. Isaiah 14 is the passage in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And he starts talking about him. But after he's done talking about Lucifer's purpose, he said, thou hast said in thine heart, in verse 13, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt, this is Lucifer talking, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So Lucifer, he wants to be God. And that's his purpose. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, five times. Then after you get Lucifer's purpose here in this passage, God starts to tell you his purpose. He says, oh yeah, you know, buddy of mine, Bob Simons, he always used to say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. That's what you got happening here. Satan, you get Satan's purpose, and then God says, yeah, let me tell you my purpose. And you go down and you get five I wills of God now following through this passage. Look at verse 25. That I will break the Assyrian in my land. And now he's talking about the Antichrist prophetically. And upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? See, that's the purpose of God, according to prophecy, to take back the earth. This is my purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. Paul says, God, according to his purpose, has made known unto us the mystery. Not that the earth will be reconciled, but that all things in heaven and earth will be gathered together in one in Christ in the dispensation of the fullness of times. God's revealed purpose here, the mystery of God, is this, his purpose for the earth. Put one foot on the land and put one foot on the sea and restake the claim. Take the earth back. And that's been God's purpose all through the Bible until you come to Paul. The Bible starts out, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The next verse says, and the earth was without form and void, and from there on the Bible talks about the earth. All the things that God's going to do with the earth through the nation Israel, his earthly people. Not until you get to Paul does he start talking about his people in heavenly places. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has in the fullness of times, he's going to show the riches of his grace in that he has seated us together in heavenly places in Christ. That's where our seat is, in heaven. That's the mystery. That's God's purpose, not just for the earth, but for all things. That's why it's all wisdom. It's the completion of the revelation. We'll talk more about it next week. Do you have a question? Comment? Any further word? Yes, sir.
So in Revelation 10, the mystery, so we would be talking about the age of grace, correct? Because once he comes back in a couple of years, and we're going to the millennial reign, that's a bunch of rules and laws then, correct?
That I'm not sure I understand the question, but I like it that you got him coming back in a couple of years. I wish you'd shortened that time a little bit.
We're in the middle of the 7 years of tribulation at that point.
After he comes back for us. We're not in the middle.
After the rapture, yeah.
Right.
We're in the 7 years of tribulation.
We're in heaven. The earth is in tribulation, yes.
So, I mean, when he comes back after the 7 years, and he stays for the 1,000-year reign.
Right.
We then change to a bunch of rules and laws under Christ.
We do?
We're
under grace in heaven.
Yes.
The law through...
The earth.
You have the earth under the law of God, but it's being operated through the new covenant as opposed to the Old Testament. And the new covenant is the Spirit of God indwelling people and enabling them to keep those laws that they couldn't keep before, because it's not in the heart of man to do it. God puts it in their heart. He takes out the stony heart, gives them a heart of flesh, and causes them to walk in his statute. So they're under the law, but it's a different operating principle. So yes, but the mystery of God there is not the dispensation of grace. The mystery of God is the completion of his prophesied program. That's what's coming to an end in the book of to its fruition in the book of Revelation, is the prophesied program of God. Again, it's that earthly issue taking back the earth from Satan. Now we'll see here next week, probably at some point through this study, we'll see when he says there in verse Isaiah 14:14, Satan says, "I'll be like the Most High." That title, the Most High, is a designation of God as possessor of heaven and earth. That's how it's defined in your Bible. We'll look at it. Satan wants heaven and earth. The whole purpose of God revealed through prophecy is how he's going to take back the earth. God never said anything about what he's going to do with the heavens. The heavens were, as far as anybody knew, he was just giving them up. That means all the elect angels out there, they didn't know what God was going to do with them. You got Satan and all his demons up here in the spiritual wickedness in high places running the joint. The heavens are not clean in God's sight. So you got all these elect angels going, "Well, Lord, that's great what you're doing with the earth, what you're planning to do with the earth, but what about us? And what about all the rest of the universe out here?" Well, that's what the mystery's about. It's the completion of the revelation of God, what he's going to do with all things. We'll talk more about it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, y'all.